And as you probably worked out from the title, this tour is about cats. And cats basically are everywhere. Any city you go to, you will find cats in neighbourhoods. So we've all got our neighbourhood cats, and a lot of us know our neighbourhood cats. So cats often become quite large characters in their own neighbourhoods. Some cats go further than that. They achieve a fame that goes across the city they live in. Some cats actually achieve a global fame. And one of those was, of course, street cat Bob, who I'm not including in this tour, but who was a cat who lived, as his name suggests, on the street in London, was adopted by a recovering heroin addict and went on to achieve global fame and even had a film made about him. So I don't think I've got any cats of quite that magnitude, possibly one included in this tour. This one down at the bottom, I'm just with my cursor, you can see he's one of our local cats. He's Romeo. He would very much like to achieve that sort of global fame, and he's working on it extremely hard. But not all the cats in this tour are actually flesh and blood animals. Quite a lot of them are statues, or they are names. They're somehow representing other things. This one I'm not including, but I'm always intrigued by this cafe, which is by Tower Bridge, the Cat and Cucumber. Now, who came up with a name like that? I'm afraid I can't tell you, but maybe on a future tour. So I think I should get going. And this is what I haven't done to my cat. Now, those of you who are in the waiting room a moment ago, or not in the waiting room, we're actually, you know, you started a moment ago. I was saying I was a bit worried that my cat suddenly got quite lively. And one of the reasons that I decided to do this tour was my own cat, who's Ginger, but this isn't a picture of him. He tends to regard Zoom meetings as a love rival time, and he really wants to get in on the action. If I try locking him out of the room, he scratches at the door, tears up the carpet. He can get very vocal, and for obvious reasons, I can't mute him. And short of doing this, which they've done in the cartoon, we may be in for a visitation, but I've thrown a blanket over him, which sometimes works. It's a bit like a parrot. So fingers crossed. So where are we going first? Well, South London. So South London and a place called Catford. So again, you can see the bend of the river here, and over just to the right, you may be able to see Greenwich, and a lot of people will know Greenwich. So Catford's just a little bit further south than that. It's generally not on the tourist map. It's close to a place called Lewisham, which tends to be better known. But Catford is home to a very large cat, not a real one, you probably worked out. It's one of the large cats we're going to see on this tour. This one's made of fiberglass, and it dates from 1974. It adorns the Catford Centre shopping centre, and it's loved and loathed in equal measure by local people. You can see it's a bit grubby, and what they're planning to do is refurbish and renovate the Catford Centre. And so for some people, this was the ideal opportunity to get rid of that ruddy cat. Other people, sensing that this might be on the cards, immediately mounted a swift campaign to save the Catford cat, and they're the people who won the day. So when the renovation is done, the cat will be still in situ, though hopefully they will have cleaned it up a bit. You can see him here over the Catford Centre. So they make quite a lot of the name Catford, or the cat in Catford in that part of town. So across the road, what was a pub, which is now a multi-purpose venue called the Ninth Life. You can probably work out the clue in that. And the last couple of years, they've got a new little sort of cinema hub in an old branch of Poundland, of all unlikely places, which is called Catford Mews. So they're really working on the cat connection. But the name Catford is quite likely not to have a connection with cats at all. The most popular theory is that it's a place where cattle forded the River Ravensbourne. There are other people who insist, no, no, it's not that at all. It's a place where there was a feral colony of cats. The theory, which I really hope is not true, is that it's a place where, at a time when people hunted down witches, that they threw black cats, which were very much associated with witches, into the river. So I think we should move swiftly on from that. So where to next? Well, we're still going to be south of the river. possibly another place, if you're not from London, or even if you're not from South London, that you won't have heard of. I'm just going to move my pictures, which you can't see, I don't think. Oh, maybe you can. That's better. To a place called Myatt's Fields. And you can see actual Myatt's Fields here. This is a green patch. This is a park. But I'm guessing most of you, if not all of you, have heard of our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. And he and his fiancée, Carrie Symonds, are very strongly rumoured locally to have bought a house in Knatchbull Road. So where my cursor is, here is Knatchbull Road. It's rather lovely houses along there, but I'm guessing they might actually be off on some of these side roads where houses are slightly more private. So Myatt's Fields is named after a market gardener. This is a part of London where there was a huge amount of market gardening. We're basically on the borders of Brixton and Camberwell. A lot of people have heard of Brixton. If perhaps you've been on my physical Denmark Hill Camberwell walk when you've been in London, you'll have an idea of where we are as well. And this is a street, unfortunately, yes, you can see it. Calais Street. It's not unfortunate at all. Calais Street, well, you're thinking, go down there, you're not going to reach Calais. Neither are you going to reach Denmark, but I'm not worrying about that one. Calais Street is so called because of four brothers who left Calais after the revocation of the Edict of Nantes in 1685. So they were French Protestants. They were French Huguenots. They were refugees to this country. And they left Calais to come to England in a rowing boat. And they rowed across the channel. So, of course, we've got situations similar to that today with lots of people trying to reach this country and actually trying to reach other countries in rowing boats and unsuitable crafts and often coming to grief. Well, fortunately, these four brothers, the Minet brothers, they survived and they prospered. And at the end of the 19th century, one of them, William, not one of them, sorry, one of their descendants, they didn't live that long, gave 14 acres of land to local people. So the land was for housing and flats, for a park, and this park. And they had Calais Street named after them. So if you go into the street, the south side of the park, you'll see the block of flats. Here we are. And if you look over the entrance here, you can see it says Calais Gate. So that again is for the Minet, or they're known locally Minet. So the library, which they funded as well, or he funded, is called the Minet Library. Now, I want you to look at the gables of these flats, because you should see that adorning the gables, there are cats. And you get lots and lots of cats represented on this land, on buildings which were funded by William Minet. So here, got one, 1892, got a nice cat in the middle, 1889, another nice cat. So it's not immediately obvious why, but basically it's like a rebus, because Minet in French means kitty or pussycat. So they're basically stamping their name on the buildings associated with them. So it's a rather nice feature locally. And I love these ones. These are the gables. You can see I've used a longer lens here. And these wonderful cats on the top. Very nice flats as well. A rather stunning gable we have here too. I was really pleased to find, this is between the park and the flats, or come across this tortoiseshell cat, who I think was rather less pleased to see me than I was to see her. So she immediately leapt over the wall and into the park. But it was nice to see a real cat in the area. And you get a lot of dogs in the park. So this is the park, Myatt's Field Park. You see, we've got the outline of it here, how it's been laid out. And over here on the right, you can see we've got the bandstand. So no 19th century park was complete without a bandstand. And this is an original. Some of our parks, they've been replaced. So the park is very well used. It's been incredibly well used in lockdown by a whole wide demographic, all ages. So you see a child here enjoying a puddle. And obviously cyclists come here, these winter trees, but soon it will be all green and there'll be lots of sport and picnics and all the rest of it going on. Now, one of the exciting things I think about this park is that the person who designed and laid it out was one of the first professional female landscape gardeners. and her name was Fanny Wilkinson. Do look her up, because you'll find she's responsible for laying out so many different areas of open ground around London. She was part of the Bloomsbury Group. She lived in Gower Street. She lived next door to Elizabeth Garrett, later Elizabeth Garrett Anderson, and her sister, Agnes Garrett. In 1900, she wrote a leaflet which was distributed to all the London authorities. And what it was advising was on what sort of trees thrived best in the streets of London. And so it's advising local authorities, because she was very keen on people being able to enjoy the outdoors. And when we go to our next stop, which we're about to, I'm pretty certain that one of the people I'm going to talk about there has read that leaflet.